Now, the house was just huge, like you see in the movies, great big huge square houses, you know, with slanting roofs and up on stilts and all that sort of thing. Then on the outer part of the perimeter of the house was all screened, and that's where we children slept.
No, it was like a veranda.
Like
That
a
was
veranda,
screened. I
right? And
see.
it's all screened, you see, and that's where we children slept. And we had like army bunks, and even there was a screened area. We also had these little the netting, mosquito netting, the bar at the top, you know, and then rolled up, and you had to sleep under this mosquito netting. And that's where we children slept. And my parents didn't sleep out there; they slept in the bedroom, you know. But they had large windows, you know, with screen, and then they had shutters when the typhoons come. They rolled everything all up, you know. And I can remember as a kid sleeping out there on that veranda. We'd have these little tiny little lizards, and they would just be climbing up on the screen. You know, you'd look out there and you'd fall asleep watching this little guy run up the, and it would just be, you know, lots of them. Just sometimes I look back now and I think, golly, you fellas must sleep in a place like that. But at that time, we didn't think anything of it. There were these iguanas that were. And see, this is way back, you know, in the 20s, and the Filipinos were very superstitious about the iguanas in those days. They thought they were some sort of a holy thing, and how you weren't supposed to kill them. And they would wander into the post, you know, because it was very primitive way back in those days. And so they wander in the post, and one did get, you know, up in our house. And you would, at night, you'd hear him go, gecko, gecko, you know. And finally, one night, my father, he'd been out. And when he came home, apparently he got it, and he'd killed it. And it was a pretty big one. And he put it in the old GI can, you know. And the next day, you know, when the Filipinos came in to take care of the house, they were very upset about my dad killing this iguana. But it was a horrible thing. It was a pretty big one, you know, like this. Terrible.
Now, then you would sleep, did you each have your own area, or it would basically almost be like a dormitory?
It was like a dormitory, just one huge, you know. And the kids would have their little bunks out there. And then, like I say, then I have my second brother, you know, who was, he was born there. And I remember that when he was born, it was time for him to be baptized. See, all my mother knew is that we had this one brother, Uncle Fred. And at that time, I don't think she knew that his name was O'Connor, but it was Frederick. His name was Frederick Archibald. Well, he was a wealthy old bachelor, and my dad just thought that this second son should be named after Uncle Fred, so that, you know, after all, if you got a kid named after you, you might inherit some money one day. Anyway, so mother went along with that, but then when it came time for Fred to be baptized, we had to take a caramedo way out in the boondocks, way out to go to the church with the mission.
What?
A caramedo. That's a little cart and horse, pony, transportation type thing. And we had to go way out in the village where the Catholic Church was to have my little brother baptized. Dad didn't want to go. Mother was very hurt and very unhappy about that. That's the first and only time I can recall that he ever, you know, just said, no, you do it.
Mm-hmm. But she did go anyhow.
Oh, yes. She got all of us kids and got my little brother, and out we went. Mm-hmm. And I remember that. And, however, many years later, when my little brother, before he even finished high school, when he was 17 years old, when World War II came along, he decided that he wanted to go to the Maritime Academy. You know, he loved the sea. And so in order for him to get in, my father had to have his birth certificate and all that sort of thing. And for him to enter the academy, he took the entrance exam, and fine, you know. And so we sent back to the Philippines for his birth certificate, and just before the Stotzenberg Hospital was bombed out by the Japanese. Anyhow, we got it, and when it came back, we found out his name was not... He wasn't baptized Frederick Archibald. My mother was so angry at my father for not going out. She named him Frederick Calvin Coolidge.
What a wonderful story.
And that poor little kid, you know, all the years growing up, he used to have more fights because he was like my father. He was a tall, skinny, feisty one, you know. And they'd say, hey, Archie, hey, Frederick Archie, you know, and he would just get in more darn fights. And then the poor kid, then he entered the academy, and he told me, he says, you won't believe this, he said, but there's another fellow up there. He's black, and his name is Calvin Coolidge. His first name is Calvin Coolidge. And I said, well, too, what the heck, that's pretty neat. Somebody else's parents thought I was a pretty neat president, you know. But you know, my mother never told my father that, you see, and she'd passed away and everything, and we didn't know that until the time came for my little brother to enter the academy up there.
Were there other things? I mean, that seems to be a fairly blatant act of resistance on her part, although she didn't tell him. Were there things
never,
like that
never,
before?
Never.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Nothing that I'm aware of.
How funny. Now, when it sounds like this school and the base itself were much more isolated than in Virginia.
Oh, yes. Oh, it was primitive. It was very primitive. And I can remember, although, you know, all my years, you know, we lived on my reservations, always been happy, good years.
Mm-hmm.
Always things were pretty neat. Always felt like we were taken care of and protected. Just great. As far as our clothes were concerned, you know, she made them before we went there, but they would be made out of things like pongee, and they'd be made out of like lisle, you know, that lovely lisle. And I can remember one time my dad brought home a parachute, and she even made dresses out of this beautiful parachute. Silk was lovely, and she even made shirts for my brother. But imagine, she was quite a seamstress, you know. She's a fantastic woman.
In the Philippines, did she do all her own housework?
No, in the Philippines, see, we were able to have help there.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. We had lavender, and we had a lady that did the cleaning and things like that. But she did the cooking. Mm-hmm. And we did all the cooking and things like that.
Did you have someone living in the house?
Oh, no. No, they would come daily.
Uh-huh.
They would come daily.
Now, it sounds like the base was somewhat removed from
the city.
Another part of the community.
The base was. You know, it was removed from the community. It was quite a ways from the city.
So during those years, your life revolved
and
totally
on the base,
on the
excepting
base.
When it came time to go on Sundays. Now, we had a chapel, of course, you know, on the post. But my mother would like to have us go out to the real old Catholic churches out in the, they call it the Bunducks, you know, way out in the hills, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, it wasn't unsafe or anything like that, you know, for that part of town. So we would go out there. But,
and was that primarily the native population that would go?
Native. Native. Like I said, my mother was a very religious person. And so to get to a real Catholic church is what she wanted us to see and be exposed to. And so that's what we did. We'd travel, you know, out there to go to these affairs. And on the post, we would have, there would be a non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be an officer, you know. And sometimes you would have a Catholic priest, or you'd have a rabbi, or you'd have a Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd all be officers, but they would be, and they would have the services of their faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And my father never rejected that. It just showed that we attended. But my mother, she didn't necessarily object, but she would prefer that we have the good basic religious training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because apparently that's where she was raised, and she thought it worked out well for her, and so she wanted her kids to have the same thing. Would you like some more coffee?
No, thank you, Betty.
But we didn't go into town. I mean, going into town and things like that, you know, I don't recall ever doing that myself, going with my parents. My mother would buy, that's another thing about dresses and things. In those days, you would just like, you'd have a bolt of cloth, you know, but you'd lay it out there, and the Filipino ladies, they would embroidery, like, you know, like a neckline here, they'd embroidery there. It would all be in one long straight strip. But they would cut out the neck part, and they would embroidery it. And then they would embroidery, you know, like sleeves around here. And then you could do all the trimming and all that sort of thing. It was just fantastic. They did beautiful handwork there. There's one time I remember that we did go out of town. And my father, Dad was one of these fellows that liked to celebrate. When payday came around, that's when they had a few drinks and cigars and things like that. And, you know, I always remember it being a happy time as a child, because Pop was always happy. He was one of these people, when he had a few drinks, he didn't turn mean like a lot of people. He was always happy, and he was always wanting to buy everybody a drink or take them places or whatever. But I remember it had to be on a Sunday, because my brother and I were dressed up. And Pop was in his, you know how they have different uniforms, and apparently it was his dress uniform. And we must have talked him into told him we wanted to go someplace. Well, I'm going to take you kids for a ride in the Pasig River. My mother didn't know about this, and we thought that was just super, you know. And the Pasig River is one of the main rivers that runs through. In fact, it runs right by the palace in Manila. And it's a dirty, filthy river. It's just, it's just horrible. And I was talking to a little gal that was over here from Manila. That she's studying with Cesar Chavez right now, farm workers, and she's over here on a grant. I was talking to her about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and she tells me, she says, oh, it's still terrible. They're trying to clean it up, but it's still not cleaned up. Anyway, so Pop, here we are all dressed up and everything. Dad's in his uniform and everything, and he gets this this dugout, you know, and he has, it's just this outrigger, but just the one outrigger on the thing. And so he gets us kids in there, and they have a Filipino in the forward section, and Pop gets in. and they throw up here in the second, and they shove us off, and we just get shoved off, and it collapses. And here we are in our Sunday clothes, you know, and I remember having a hat on and everything, and my brother's son, he had a hat. Mother was always so, everything had to be just right, you know, and Dad in his uniform. And I remember, boy, he was just yelling and screaming, and he got us, he rescued both of us kids, got us, you know, up there. Then he'd come up there, and the first thing he did, he looked in his pocket, and here's his gold watch just dripping, you know, with all that dirty, rotten water. Well, of course, Mother was absolutely furious when we got home. First, she was just scared to death that something terrible had happened to us. But that was one outing we had in Manila that I remember. My dad was taking us out for an outing.
And the family didn't do things like that with each other? For instance, on Sundays?
We used to go on picnics and things. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to go on picnics and things like that. And But I don't recall anything in particular there in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Because there wasn't too much, you know, there wasn't too much there you could do. There was one thing. See, this is good you're asking these questions. I remember we had friends who were stationed over on Corregidor.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go over there. We used to take a mine sweep. We'd take a vacation. If Dad had some time off, we would take, all the whole family would go down there, and the transportation that we used was an old mine sweep. And we'd go from Manila over to Corregidor. And I remember the old Corregidor, and I remember going through that infamous tunnel, you know, with the baton march where the mm-hmm. war prisoners were put back and forth and through there. And we used to play in that old tunnel, and one section of it. But one section of it was used for refrigeration of all of meats and chickens and things that were shipped from the States. Because as far as food was concerned, see, we didn't have any fresh beef or anything over there. The only thing we had was sent from the States in the old Army transport. You know, frozen there, and it took, at that time, it would take 30 days or more to get there. I remember it took us 30 days from San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get to the Philippines. And 33 days, I remember coming back, we had to make a couple extra stops. And we played in the one section that they weren't using.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember how we kids used to have so much fun climbing the kapok trees over there. And I also remember one thing, we used to love to swim. That was another thing. We were all the different posts that we lived at were always stationed near the water because my father was an artilleryman, mm-hmm. Coast Artillery.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember in Corregidor, we had to have nets out there because the sharks, you know, surround the mm-hmm. whole island. And I can remember going swimming there one afternoon with my friends, and their shark had gotten to the net and had attacked a Filipino and just killed him, of course. We weren't out too far, you know. But anyhow, after that, my mother wouldn't allow us to go swimming anymore in Corregidor because the sharks could get to the nets, you know.
Was that a very important activity for you, the swimming?
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. because, see, there wasn't much else to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no theaters to go to, nothing like that. We would have, on the post, we would have movies,
mm-hmm.
you know, once a month or something like that, but there wasn't anything like they have now.
Mm-hmm. What other sorts of activities did the children have on the post?
Well, at that time, there wasn't much of anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just playing ball and that sort of thing around the, you know, your own area there. We didn't have the nice recreational facilities like we had in Virginia mm-hmm. or stateside here. We didn't have things like that at the post then.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother feel all right about your being very physically active and playing ball and doing those sorts of things? Or
didn't
did she think
fine.
It was not good for girls? No,
no, she didn't. She never objected. The only thing that she would ever be unhappy about is when we tore a dress or something mm-hmm. like that, just say, I'd be more careful. No, she thought that was just fine.
Mm-hmm.
No, she never said, well, you know, you're too much tomboy or whatever, never.
Mm-hmm.
No, my parents never did that.
Who were your, can you describe your friends a little bit on the base in the Philippines?
In the Philippines. Mm-hmm. Well, the ones that I remember are the mm-hmm. ones who were in Corregidor.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the mother and the one daughter is living over in Palos Verdes now. They're still, she works at the, is it the Little Mary? What's the name of the hospital in Torrance?
Mm-hmm.
Little Company of Mary, the little Catholic hospital.
Mm-hmm.
She's a nurse over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother is a widow, is living in over there. Anyway, they were just real neat kids.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty much like, you know, we were, it's about mm-hmm. the same ages. And so they were a lot of fun. We used to look forward to it because they were the same age as we were.
Mm-hmm.
And we were acquainted also in Virginia.
Oh, I see.
They were stationed in Virginia, so we had met them before and kind of grew up, you know, together.
Oh.
And so that's another reason why it was so important that we'd go over to Corregidor, because we were acquainted with them, and they were
mm-hmm.
really, really nice. And my mother and father liked their parents also. They had
mm-hmm.
a lot in common,
mm-hmm.
and they were good Catholics.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, was that
important? Oh, yes, very
was.
Catholic,
mm-hmm.
yes. Uh-huh.
And
it
there
was.
Weren't that many other Catholic children on the base there where you were?
Not that I recall.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I recall.
What, did you have contact with the Philippine children at all?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we did. In fact, as I remember, there were some Filipino students there, you know, and we would play with them, you know, just, like any child would in school. But there's, I don't recall any special games or anything like that that impressed me so much that I still remember.
Yeah. But so they were in the school, though, with you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
There were
because
some...
they had a division of Filipino engineers.
I see.
But it was part of the United States Army.
Uh-huh.
You see, there were soldiers in. So I can remember when you were talking about the Filipinos and about... I can remember we were attending a big celebration. And... my mother warned us children ahead of time that whatever we ate had to be on this end of the banquet table. This end of the banquet table, you know, and don't eat anything down there. And she never explained why, you know, but later on I found out the reason why is because they had that roast dog, you know, and they believed in that, and you know, and they did have roast dog.
Mm-hmm.
They would raise the dogs, you know, for the very purpose of eating.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course... We didn't know anything about it at that time, but later on I found out that was why.
Mm-hmm. Did you have pets?
Not in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
No, we didn't have any pets in the Philippines. I don't remember. Mm-mm.
Now, how long did you stay in the Philippines that time?
It had to be 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So you were about 7 or so by the time you left?
Oh, let me see.
7
or 8. Let's see.
1925, that would be.
18. About 8. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm like 8. Uh-huh.
Are there other experiences in the Philippines that seem particularly
impressive
to you?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, there was one that was just disastrous in a way. My dad, he was a first sergeant, and they would have these sham battles, you know, like the Blue Army and the Red Army, where they would have these sham battles. Well, apparently, my dad, I don't remember which army it was his, but apparently what he did, he took all of his guys out the night before in a big party, and they all were just blotto. And the next day came for the army. His army just couldn't fight. So they broke him back to a buck private and put him in jail. Put him in jail, and they busted him back and sent him back to the States.
Oh, so that's what led to your leaving.
That's why we left.
How did your mother feel about that?
Well, you know, as I remember, my mother was... I don't recall that she raised a lot of cane about it, or whether she was crushed or whatever. She just said, well, we'll just do the best we can and get things together, and let's go back and let's start all over again, see?
Hmm.
And I can remember when we arrived, on the way back, we had to stop in China, Qingmentao. And I remember getting deathly ill because my brother and I had shared a whole basket of these little sugar cookies and ate tangerines, and we were deathly ill. And shortly after just having dysentery from that, from China, in the China Sea to Japan, we ran into a 5-day typhoon, and they had to actually lash us down in our bunks because we couldn't be out and walking around, you know. And then, let's see what I'm trying to from the point I was trying to make. From China to Japan, then Japan, and then from Japan we went to Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
and then Hawaii. We landed on, it was the old, Treasure Island over there, when you were in quarantine, when you come in. And we had to stay on that, and I can remember we arrived there because of the difference in climate and everything else. The poor kids, you know, our eyes were all mattered and everything, and it was just terrible. We were so ill from going from the extreme, you know, from all that extreme heat and the type of food we had to live on down there. And then when we arrived, it was just really terrible. We were...
Hmm.
I remember my mother used to have to wash her eyes out several times a day. Then finally, I remember we, being he was sent back, you know, carry a buck pride of 4 children. So I remember that, I didn't know about this until later, but apparently he tried to get the Salvation Army as somebody to help, you know, provide us a place to live over there, because he was a buck private then, and he wasn't entitled to quarters at Fort Winfield Scott.
Wait, now, where was that?
This is in San Francisco.
I see.
So we come back from the Philippines. So we were on Treasure Island. So I remember that my dad, he took this gold watch that was given to him by his men,
mm-hmm.
and he hawked it. And he got enough money to get us to living quarters close to the base. And we lived in the Italian part of town on Lombard Street, mm-hmm. which coincidentally happened to be close to the school that we eventually went to, grammar
mm-hmm.
school,
mm-hmm.
and in the Italian district.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how he got settled there. Mm-hmm. And then he worked his way back up again.
How did you feel about leaving the Philippines?
Well, I liked it. I didn't mind a bit. I mm-hmm. thought it was just really neat, you know, mm-hmm. especially going over to visiting our friends, and I liked going in the little Carametas, and I thought it was great, you know, the way we had these ladies come in and do all this neat work, and I loved their dresses and things were so beautiful. You know, I used to love to dress up in the Lavanderas outfit. She had these beautiful, gorgeous sleeves that were so nice and everything, mm-hmm. and her skirts, and I thought that was great. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I really did.
So you were sorry to leave?
No, I was not sorry to leave. The only problem that I recall that was painful was that we kids developed boils.
Mm.
And because of the living conditions and things in our food, you know, there wasn't any fresh milk.
Mm.
You had to either drink goat's milk or what my mother did, she tried to get us used to the taste of evaporated milk and water, you know, and
mm-hmm.
whatever. But I never could adjust to that.
Mm-hmm.
And our diet was not good.
Mm-hmm.
And we developed these terrible boils. And I've still got scars on my legs where they had to lance them and things like that. And that was just terrible. That was the only thing I can remember that was very painful. And I was very happy to get away from the mosquitoes would bite you, mm-hmm. you know, and things like that. See? But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was just great. I really enjoyed it.
Were you aware of why you were leaving?
No. I was not aware.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not aware either that, you know, that my father had to do what he did until later on.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know anything about that. My mother never.
How did you feel about, did he lived with the family, though, or did he have to stay on the base on Treasure Island and the family lived on Lombard?
Oh, well, no. We remained on Treasure Island until he found a place for us there.
Mm-hmm.
And what he would do, you know, he'd go into the on the fort. He had a report, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he stayed there in the fort until he got this place for us. So as soon as he got the place for us, then he brought us to this little house right outside the gate there, you see.
And was he able to live?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Overnight. Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. I don't remember if he was, if they kept him in the brig there for days or whatever. I know they stripped him of his rank.
Mm-hmm.
He worked his way up to, he was an officer. He was an officer. He
mm-hmm.
was. He was an officer then. He worked his way up, and he was an officer, and that's why they broke him back.
Hmm.
That was the second time up.
And you weren't
no.
aware of any of
no.
that?
Uh-huh. No.
And so your mother and...
Four children
then, basically, so that during the day you wouldn't see him, you'd only see him when
right.
you stay overnight and
right.
on weekends?
Right,
mm-hmm.
yes. And I know that my mother seemed to be so good at always, wherever we went, she always, no matter how bare the house looked or whatever,
mm-hmm.
she always made it to a nice, comfortable home.
Yeah, that seems like quite a change for her, though, after she had all this help coming
yes.
in.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But I never remember ever hearing her complain or anything. In fact, and she just loved to do her cooking, her own cooking and all that sort of thing. And that's
mm-hmm.
one of the things that was kind of hard for me later because, you know, I was 12 years old when she died. And I hadn't learned how to do any cooking or anything.
Mm.
She always liked to do all of herself,
mm-hmm.
and she, you know.
Well, what sort of chores did you all have in the house?
Well, the way she raised us kids,
mm-hmm.
each child, or like my sister and I, would have to take care of our own room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make up our beds, and boy, she was a stickler about turning your mattress and fluffing your pillows, and then the weekend when it came time to change, why, if it was sunny out, our blankets had to go out in the line, and our pillows had to be hung out there, nice fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, a lot of that is because in some of these homes that we lived in, the army barracks like type
mm-hmm.
of thing, they weren't always all that good as far as heating and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and that sort of thing was concerned. And we had to do, you know, our room had to be kept clean, our clothes had to be picked up and things
mm-hmm.
like that.
And your brothers also had
to do
that?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Brothers,
and
too.
And what about chores around the house, like dishes and...
I was 12, and I did. My main job was always helping with the children,
mm-hmm.
taking care of the children.
Mm-hmm.
And so help me, you know, see, there's, you know, with the four kids. And it was just 2 years, there was penis.
Mm-hmm.
There was always a baby, always... That was my main thing, helping with the children.
Mm-hmm.
It's the main thing.
Now, when you moved to San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
you were living in the community then at that point.
You know,
what sort of house did you have there?
As I recall, it was just an old house,
mm-hmm.
just an old, small house, very small rooms and everything, you know, very small. And I remember that it was in the Italian district,
mm-hmm.
Lombard Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Now, and what about the school?
Now, the school was, it's still standing. In fact, there, you know, the last time I was went to visit, just go by to see how it was and everything, was a couple of years ago, and my gosh, they're still in session.
Mm-hmm.
Super. It's an old brick building, and it was a two-story building, and it was elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And the old-fashioned court, you know, the courtyards and that sort of thing, and nothing outstanding about it, excepting that, you know, it was in an Italian district.
Mm-hmm. Were your friends then all Italian at that point?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And was
yes.
that all right with your parents?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
And yes. their Catholicism, was their Catholicism different than yours?
No, it was very much the Roman Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very much the Roman Catholic.
Were there any teachers that particularly impressed you at that school, yourself?
Not at that school, but the one that after we were finally got back on the reservation, my father became a sergeant, a staff sergeant, a first sergeant again. Mother then could afford to send us to a Catholic school.
Oh, I see.
And there was a Catholic school on Lombard Street also. And so she sent us to that Catholic school. We had to pay for it, didn't you see?
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I remember that there was a nun there that I thought was just great. I liked her because she had this Irish brogue, you see, and I hadn't been around that before, and she had this beautiful, shiny skin and the blue eyes, you know, Sister Mary Margaret. And she was quite strict, this player, and she would use the ruler, you know, to crack your knuckles if you didn't behave or if you whispered when you weren't supposed to. And at that time, you know, she was very artistic.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came time for art, you know, I wanted to be able to draw just like her, and I would try so hard, you know. And I remember I was so thrilled one time when one of my sketches was put up on the wall, you know, and she was just great, just darling. But the thing that really impressed me was that Irish brogue that I'd never heard before.
But did you clearly identify yourself as Irish?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, and then, of course, later on in life, I could see why, you know, because after my mother died, when my father would say, now, don't you worry, the good old Irish blood's going to keep it going. You kids are going to be all right. Don't you worry now.